From Miami Law, I'm Annette Uguez, and this is The Explainer.
The culture on the movie set is to have the armorer, the professional, be responsible for the gun and to not have the actors be responsible.
Welcome back to the Miami Law Explainer, the legal affairs podcast where Miami law experts lend context and historical relevance to today's headlines. The recent trial and conviction of on-set armorer on the movie Rust offers a preview of the upcoming Alec Baldwin trial. Our Miami Law criminal law expert Tamara Lave explains the cases. Let's go to executive producer Catherine Skip with the interview.
So the young armorer on the movie set for Alec Baldwin's movie Rust was recently convicted in the 2021 gun accident that killed the cinematographer. The district attorney for Santa Fe in the First Judicial District has been saying that no one is above the law. She wrote, "No one avoids culpability due to fame, wealth, or connections in my jurisdiction." Is this her justification or an indication that she's going after Baldwin?
I mean, I think she's clearly going after Baldwin because she's going after Baldwin.
Okay. Baldwin's lawyers can point out to the conviction as proof that Gutierrez Reed, the armorer, not her managers, not the producer, was singularly to blame for bringing a live bullet to set and loading it into his gun. What's your take on this as a defense?
Look, I think it's frankly shocking that they have charged Alec Baldwin with this crime. And I think it's shocking that after being dismissed, they're going forward again. They've been told in no uncertain terms that the culture on the movie set is to have the armorer, the professional, be responsible for the gun and to not have the actors be responsible. And so to think that, I mean, they've been told by armorers, by people in the industry, that it's simply not the responsibility of actors to check guns. I wouldn't know how to do that. I just actually did a search to see what the difference was between a live bullet and a not live bullet. And one of them is cotton, the other one doesn't. I didn't know that. I mean, what happens if he opens a gun and doesn't know how to do it and he causes an accident if there is a live bullet? And I just think there's so many reasons why it's problematic and potentially more dangerous that the person, they have a system in place that makes sense. And I don't understand why they're charging him with it. I think, frankly, the quote that you gave me, the justification, it appears that because, which I agree with, nobody's above the law, but that doesn't mean you then charge somebody who you shouldn't charge to prove that nobody's above the law, which is what I think she's doing here. I think it's unconscionable that he is being charged here.
In this trial, the armorer, the Baldwin lawyers, got a preview of key testimony in the case and a sense of how the prosecution may approach him. How helpful is this to Baldwin's team?
Oh, look, they sat during the whole trial. I mean, the reason why it's helpful is they want to see what witnesses will say. There's going to be transcripts of people's testimony at the first trial. So if anyone says something different, they can be impeached with a prior inconsistent statement. They have some sense of the theory of the case. So it's all extremely helpful. But there's lots of things that are weird about this. I mean, the prosecutor paid for private, New Mexico is not the richest state in the country, and they pay for private attorneys to come in and try this case at a large amount of money. It's weird.
So Alec Baldwin, in addition to being an actor who was holding the gun, who it discharged and killed someone, he's also the producer of the movie. Does that make his role different than if it just been another actor on the set? Does he hold more responsibility as the person who is ultimately responsible for everything that goes on set?
I mean, it's possible he has more responsibility from a civil perspective.
Civil, okay.
But from a criminal perspective, like I said, I think that part of the reason why you only want to have certain people handling and checking firearms to make sure that they're safe is to make sure that they're safe. I mean, if she had done her job, she would have seen that there was a live bullet in there and it would not have gone forward and been placed into Alec Baldwin's hands. She was found guilty, and from everything I understand, she should have been found guilty. But I think the fact that he's a producer doesn't mean that he should be responsible for handling guns and checking guns to make sure. I mean, imagine if the state really had it the way they want it. And what happened was Alec Baldwin had opened the gun. And I don't know whether he has a gun. Maybe he doesn't know how to open the gun or check the gun. Maybe the gun would have fired and would have killed two people or more than two people. I mean, we just don't. Handling guns that work that have live ammunition is dangerous. And so it makes sense that you have the professional handling it,
which
is the armorer. I don't think that changes his responsibility. I understand at the trial, they're making a big deal that he was trying to rush things along, which makes sense. He's the producer. He's trying to make things go forward. It's not like if there was evidence, he said to her, we need to go ahead. Don't check here. It doesn't matter. But there's nothing like that. He's like, let's just go. We have to get this filmed. Well, that's what they have to do. She has her own responsibility, she being the armorer, to check the gun. He's not doing anything to speed that along. He's just trying to say, we have a lot to do. We need to get the thing filmed. And that's what he's doing. I don't see that the ways that he's speeding things along are impacting the conduct regarding the gun.
Right. There has been some talk that on set things were a little loosey-goosey when it came to guns. A lot of other armorers have said there is absolutely no reason that there would be live ammunition anywhere on set, but that there were stories that people were out, shooting beer cans or whatever. But if I understand you, you're saying that's civil. That's not on him.
Well, not
criminally.
Necessarily. I mean, it depends whether he knows what's going on, whether he's involved in what's happening. I mean, they're out in New Mexico and they're in a remote area. So I guess I could imagine that people could have been firing guns in the remote area. But in terms of things going on set, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd have to understand the facts better about what happened in terms of what he knew and what he saw. But there's a bullet that ends up in a gun. There's one person that's responsible for that gun, and that is the armorer. And so there's other bullets that are on set. I mean, I guess I don't really understand how the bullets on set are going to even get into the gun she's handling.
Right.
But I still think that, one of the reasons we have a civil system and a criminal system is because we want to pay attention to things like mens rea, what's in someone's head, what they know, whether or not they know about a risk and they're taking it anyway. And from what I just don't see anything that I've seen. Now, it's possible that something may come out beyond. I mean, the fact that some people are shooting beer cans, does that mean that he's going to think a bullet's going to end up in a gun that a professional that they paid to check? To me, that seems like a stretch. And that's what other people in the industry, I mean, that's why you pay for her, right? That's her job. I mean, that's her raison d'etre. So that seems a little crazy to me. And, I know they've made a big deal. He said, I would never point the gun and fire at somebody. And the issue is, well, did he pull the trigger? Did he pull it into the, what's interesting is it went to the FBI, took the gun and then dismantled it. And so, well, that's problematic because now how is the defense going to be able to analyze the gun with their own experts? They're that's making it difficult. And now when they show the gun to the jurors and the jurors handle the gun, it's not the same gun. So if I was the defense attorney there, I mean, you can imagine what you're going to do when you're cross-examining that FBI agent. It seems to me to be really problematic that he destroyed the murder weapon. Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem for the state. I know that the state's way of handling it is to say, well, the damage was done by the FBI agent. But I mean, FBI agents have responsibilities to not damage prime pieces of evidence. Mm-hmm. So I see that that's a problematic thing. I mean, it's ironic. Alec Baldwin, if he hadn't made any statement at all, he would have been in a better position to the extent that it now calls into question whether he fired the gun or he didn't fire the gun. But from my vantage point, that's really just sort of a very side issue because at the end of the day, he's an actor. He's being told, the whole scene is him taking a gun and pointing it at the camera and making it look like he fires the gun. Mm-hmm. And we know actually that there are movie sets where people do fire the gun and that these things may change, obviously, as a result of this. But the issue is, what was Alec Baldwin's mindset at the time this happened?
Right.
You know, I just think at the time this happened, I think if this happened a year from now with this experience, well, I think that's going to change what somebody's mens rea is. What's, in other words, that's a fancy way of saying what was in their head at the time they took the action. Right. But at the time he took this action, at the time this killing took place, did he, was it, you know, I pulled the jury instructions for involuntary manslaughter. The more serious version of this is he acts with a willful disregard for the safety of others. Do I think this is a willful disregard? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. If I'm playing with what I think is a toy gun and then somebody puts a live bullet in it and I literally pay for someone to give me a gun that doesn't have a bullet in it. Mm-hmm. That's why I pay them. That is their only job, right? It's their only job.
Right.
And then someone gives me this gun, which I was told all clear, there's nothing in it. And we all know the point. We know that this really matters for this scene because I'm going to be doing something to either fire the gun or make it look like I'm firing it. And then I do what everyone knows I'm going to do. And somehow there's a bullet in there. How is that a willful disregard? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no idea it was going to be there.
Right.
And I was told it wasn't there.
Right. It's going to be interesting.
I believe the prosecutors were running for, isn't she running for re-election here? Yeah, I think that's.
I believe so. Yes.
I mean, my goodness, you know, that makes it seem like she's running for re-election and she's going to try to, you know, run on by showing no one's above the law, even, you know, rich, famous people. And so you should vote for me. Well, I mean, she's a minister of justice. That's their job. You know, I was a public defender and we represent everybody. Mm-hmm. We don't cherry pick cases. Everyone's presumed innocent. But when you're a prosecutor, you're only supposed to be prosecuting cases when you believe that they committed a crime beyond a reasonable doubt. And mm-hmm. In light of everything she has here, I don't see it. And the fact that there's an election adds this bad taste in my mouth.
Right. Anything else? Anything else going on newsy in criminal law world?
No, but I guess I'll just pause to say, because of course I have students who want to be prosecutors. And, you know, it reminds me of the infamous Duke LaCrosse case, where the prosecutor in that case charged these lacrosse players with various crimes related to a stripper. And there was DNA in the case that didn't match any of them. And I think his name's Philip Nafong. He didn't turn any of it over and he got disbarred. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't appear there's any evidence that this prosecutor is not turning over, but I think it is no small thing to be charged with a felony. It's no small thing to have that happen. I mean, he has the money to pay for bail or anything else, but I mean, he's a father with young children. This has got to be enormously stressful. Mm-hmm. I think you have to take it very seriously when you charge somebody with a crime. In a situation like this, when all of the people in the industry are telling the prosecutor that what you're asking of Mr. Baldwin is unreasonable mm-hmm. in the industry, I don't think she should have charged him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. On that note, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. See you around.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for The Explainer and a whole new season of Explaining. If you enjoy our show, leave us a 5-star review with your podcast provider and ask your friends to subscribe. Our show is engineered and edited by Christopher Alzadi with theme music composed by Rady Kim from the Frost School of Music. I'm your host, Annette Uguez. Today's show was brought to you by Miami Law's 9 postgraduate degree programs for attorneys looking to add a specialty or a foreign-trained lawyer. For more information, visit www.law.miami.edu.